you are in the Kokanee Zone, brought to you by KokaneeTackle.com. And Dwayne, our next guest, not only has a great deal of information regarding Kokanee, he's an author, and he actually provided a prize last segment to one of our very fortunate listeners.
He did indeed. I mean, Kent Cannon is a well-known name throughout the Northwest in the realm of Kokanee, and I guess if you can be obsessed about Kokanee, Kent is probably that individual. Morning, Kent. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're doing good. So you're going to talk a little bit about still fishing here on the show this morning. You know, we've done a lot of trolling tech talk and jigging here, but there's a whole other deal out there, a technique for catching these kokanee, and it's still fishing. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, it's been around for quite a while. I just don't think a lot of people really connect the dots and understand the process. Still fishing for kokanee is similar to jigging, except without the jigging, and you're using bait to attract the bite. You're sitting still instead of moving your rod up and down. My roots in the whole thing started at Wiki Up. They called it the Wiki Up sandwich. It was a combination of a Potsky's Fireball and a piece of crawdad tail, and there's a couple other variations therein, but basically, you locate the fish, and you park over them, and you can watch your presentation on your fish finder, and you just sit and wait for the bump on the tip of your rod.
Now, the first time I ever went kokanee fishing was actually on Lake Shannon in the Skagit Drainage, okay? And, you know, of course, you'd see a lot of the same boats you saw during steelhead season, and they're just, you know, sleds up on the creek up there. And Kent, one of the ways that we kind of determined where the heck they were was, yeah, using that fish finder, but boy, we kept them in the same neck of the woods by chumming, okay? And of course, some of that same stuff that we were chumming with would end up on the end of our rods, and that's how we kept those kokanee around the boat.
Yeah, Washington does allow chumming, although I'm in Oregon, and chumming is illegal down here. It's a very effective means to attract your fish into the area and hold them in that area. And it's a lot simpler than just trying to find them with a fish finder, which is what we have to do. We have to hunt for them.
Right, Ken. Early in the week when you and I were talking, you know, when people think of chumming, you got this visual of a guy sitting in a boat with a big pail of slop and corn and a scoop, and you're just kind of tossing stuff out in the water periodically, kind of letting it sink to the bottom and draw them in. But you kind of refined it a bit and had a few different techniques about just dropping a can down on your anchor line or something that's just going to produce a scent trail. Give us a little insight on how you can simplify your chumming more versus a scent versus, you know, just kind of tossing some matter out into the water.
Okay, my preferred method would be to use a concrete coffee can anchor, you know, pour a coffee can full of concrete or cement and leave about an inch to an inch and a half at the top of the rim, and you actually take that and put it into the freezer with your mash. And for mash, I like a substance like oatmeal. And if you make your oatmeal and then add oil scents, you don't want the gels or whatever. You want to add oil scents. There's a number of different brands on the market. Mine just happens to be ProCure, probably because of convenience. They're located here in Salem. But then put it in the freezer and allow it to freeze. And that will dissipate over time. So you're solving two problems. You're anchoring, number one, plus your anchor is containing your chum, which a lot of guys used to, or probably still do, used to take a can of corn and they'd open the corn and toss the can over. And corn has an effect on fish. Their digestive system is not designed to digest corn. So large amounts of corn will kill a fish. So in contrast to that, using something like oatmeal to hold your scent, which is really what attracts the fish, you're solving two problems. You're not killing the fish, and you're attracting the schools to you.
Right. So, okay, so we have our anchor system in place. We've located our fish on the finder. We dropped that anchor down, and now we have those oils coming off and putting that scent trail out and keeping them around us. So now, you know, what's the method? Am I fishing off the bottom, floating bait up? Am I basically dropping stuff down? Am I suspending bait under a float? And then give us a little insight on the difference of choice of fishing rod that we actually want to use for still fishing for these, because our trolling rods that we've become so accustomed to with this big parabolic bend and the forgiveness in the rod that we like to associate with kokanee fishing isn't necessarily the rod we want to use for still fishing. So give us a little bit on that.
Okay, my preferred method is to use a jig body or trolling weight, you know, one of the banana weights, and I like to run about 18 to 30 inches of heavy leader, meaning 15 to 20 pounds above it, and I like to run 5 or 6 inches below to a treble hook, and I'll actually take that treble hook and I'll use my needle nose, and I'll bend the tips of the treble out slightly so that they're not in line with the shank of the hook. And upon that, and the reason for this is that it allows you to get to depth in a hurry by using that weight.
With the inline weight like that, okay.
Yeah. The whole key is, I mean, once you get into the fish, it's a madhouse. I mean, everybody in the boat is hooking up. So you want to watch those weights as they go down on your fish finder, and you want to either be right on top of the school or in the midst of it. And then you just sit there and patiently watch the tip of your rod, and when you get a bump, then you set the hook. It's a real subtle bump. It's not like, a Chinook or a coho taking the hook and running with it. It's more of a real subtle bump. But when you get it, then if you don't set the hook, you miss the bite.
So now on this treble hook, are you bending all three of the points out a little bit, and or are you just taking two of them and bending out and putting maybe some bait on there and then leaving the other one
bare
the way it is? How are you doing that? Tell us exactly what you're doing with that treble hook.
I just slightly bend them out,
yeah.
All of them, and I'll usually put my bait on either one or all of them. It depends on, you know, how I'm feeling today. If I'm in a hurry, I'm only baiting one of them.
Yeah.
You know, once you get into the fish, it's not really important how much bait's there. But that's basically the technique.
Isn't it a wonder our wives put up with us? I mean, we're using our blender first, to grind up shrimp bait, and now you've got us actually putting an anchor with bait in the freezer. Okay,
that's so, where it should be.
Yeah.
You know?
So Kent, if you're ever challenged with locating kokanee to deploy some of these stationary or vertical techniques, do you find yourself trolling at times with downriggers or weights to locate the kokanee before you switch up and still fish these critters?
You know, I've never really done that. If you focus on points in the spring, kokanee, you know, there's some very distinct habits that kokanee have. In the spring, all the kokanee are going to move into the shallows. They feed on bugs and whatnot, normal fare that they normally don't touch during the course of the year. But in the spring, when they come off of their starvation diet because there isn't not a lot of food, they will move into the shallows and they'll start feeding on bugs and freshwater shrimp and such. So you want to locate points, shallow water, that protrude out into the lake where there's going to be, grass and whatnot. And that's where you pretty much target. And you can just troll around with your fish finder and you can find them. They're very easy to locate once you do.
He's Kent Cannon, author of The Kokanee Obsession, and this book is available at Outdoor Emporium, better sports shops and bookstores around. A great book, Kent. I really look forward to looking through this. Of course, we've gave one away to our one of our very fortunate listeners today. And if you want to get a hold of Kent, you can always jump onto his website, northwestoutdoorwriter.com. Kent, we thank you for joining us this morning. We really appreciate the information.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Thanks,
right,
buddy.
Thanks,
okay.
Kent.
Take care.
You know, we fished American Lake, what was it, last week or the week before, Dwayne?
Oh,
week
man.
And a half ago, something like that. We had a great day. We were trolling.
We did.
But we saw some big schools of kokanee on the finder.
Amazing.
Of course, we trolled through them.
Mm-hmm.
None of those bit. We were picking them off, you know, onesie-twosies. But when we were going through those big schools, they weren't biting.
Right.
Man, there I'm sitting go, here huh? thinking,
yeah, if
hello.
You yeah. And it's interesting. Now, I mean, if that's kind of your game plan, if you're gonna troll around, locate fish, and you locate that school, and we kind of mm-hmm. mentioned it, but we didn't have time to get into it with Kent. But you know, the rod selection that you need to think about for guys that are using these Kokanee designed rods, you got to kind of switch back to the bass fishing realm. A drop shot style rod, 7-footer, a little stiffer in the butt, mm-hmm. Quick action tip, a lightweight drop shot rod is what you want, because he mentioned it, man. When those things bite, and it's albeit a real slight bite, as soon as you sense that, you don't wait for them to bury the hook and take the rod down. As soon as you feel that nibble on that corn or whatever your bait is, you got to be on it right now and set the hook. Completely different than when you're trolling. Big parabolic bend in that rod.
Yeah, and those trolling rods, they do have that parabolic bend. Mm-hmm. They maybe not as sensitive. You want a fast action rod that's super sensitive yes. in the tips. You can feel that subtle little
And those
rod,
rods are big benders, you know, all the way to the cork.
Trolling
and just,
stick.
Yeah, and that's the forgiveness in the system. He kind of Kent equates it to in his book, and I read this. It was like, well, that kind of turns the light on. It's like standing there on the street corner waiting for the trolley car to come by, and then you reach your hand out and grab the rail, and the car doesn't. The car doesn't stop moving. Well, that's a Kokanee when they're chasing your trolling gear. You know, they see that bait go by and they grab it. Next thing you know, the boat doesn't slow down.
Right.
The boat doesn't know, much like the trolley doesn't know, you're now on board, right? So that's why you have the forgiveness in the rod. But when you're still fishing and you're going to set that hook, you don't want that rod. You do not use your trolling rod for that still fishing.
Very, very, very tough compromise to have a sensitive enough tip and then just a very fast rod that loads up real quick so you can drive that hook home. Yeah, definitely.